Welcome to the Currently Cringing podcast. I'm your host, Anisha Ramakrishna. I'm a TV personality and entrepreneur. Join me as I spill the chai on my cringeworthy life experiences with a side of dating, pop culture, and lots of laughs.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, welcome to Currently Cringing. Well, it's been one of those weeks where it feels like it's been a year with everything that's happened. We have so much to unpack. Well, Monday, March 25th, was the lunar eclipse. And this is a very big astrological event. The biggest event of the year is coming April 8th. I've told you guys, do not go outside during the April 8th eclipse. Hopefully you didn't really venture out March 25th, Monday, meaning, you know, unless you have to. I'm saying, like, you don't go out and, like, look at it, right? Like, you don't go and look at the eclipse. So Monday was the lunar eclipse, and the April 8th eclipse is the solar eclipse, which we'll get to that when we get closer to that date. But the eclipse on Monday occurred in the sign of Libra, which is associated with balance, harmony, relationships, diplomacy, and it suggests a focus on these areas in the coming weeks. We might see a greater push for balance in professional and personal relationships, and there could be a renewed emphasis on finding compromise and resolving conflicts peacefully. Now, the eclipse affects each sign differently. So depending on your sign, you can look it up. But the effects of an eclipse usually last like 2 to 3 months. So depending on your sign, you could have, you know, an effect on relationships, breakups, makeups. You could have an effect on your career changes, reevaluation, and of course, social justice, fairness. And that is a theme that we're seeing a lot of. You know, we're seeing the truth. The truth is being revealed to us. You know what they say, what happens in the dark always comes to light. And I think we're seeing a lot of that this year. And then, of course, April 1st is the beginning of Mercury retrograde, and it's kind of already started. You know, the shadow period starts March 18th, which we've passed that now, and it officially begins April 1st to April 24th. So if you believe in astrology, like I do, even though I take it with a grain of salt, but like I will not sign any contracts during Mercury retrograde. I will try not to have any, you know, cosmetic procedures or any surgery done unless it's, you know, life or death during Mercury retrograde. And for example, if you're talking to someone, you know, you're seeing if you should pursue someone or be in a relationship with someone, wait till after Mercury retrograde to become exclusive with that person. I'm just giving you a heads up here. I'm coming off of 2 severe, awful, horrific migraines, and they were not menstrual migraines. They were just sinus headaches that turned into migraines because I have that. I have atypical sinus headaches. These are sinus headaches that turn into migraines, and it's awful. And it's something in the air. I don't know if it's spring, the change in weather, the time change, and also the lunar eclipse that we just had, March 25th. That also affects your body, you know, like your body purges. So I don't know. It's been a rough 2 weeks. Health-wise, again, I just need to get the fuck out of here. But for those of you who suffer from menstrual migraines, I made a little TikTok video. If you haven't seen it, basically I found a cure-all kind of for my menstrual migraines, and maybe it helps you if you have menstrual migraines. And it's called Migrelief. That's M-I-G and then the word relief. And I got that on Amazon and it's working wonders. I also started oil pulling, and I couldn't oil pull with regular coconut oil, like I would gag. I bought that Guru Nanda oil pulling mint flavored oil, and you get that on Amazon as well. And none of this is sponsored, by the way, even though they did reach out to me, but I declined. But I've been doing that for about 3 weeks now, and I'm seeing a big difference. So, you know, look into it because it's nice. You know, I was sold on TikTok. All the TikTokers have been oil pulling with the Guru Nanda mint coconut oil. And now I am too. We can kind of, I guess, just begin with Kate Middleton. She made an announcement that she had abdominal surgery to remove what they thought was presumably benign. Something benign. We don't know what exactly. We don't know the details. And when they removed it, they found that there were some cancer cells. And so now she's going through chemotherapy, preventative chemotherapy, which is not a medical word, by the way. That does not exist. People are saying that the video is AI, you know, and at this point, it is what it is. Whether it's AI or not, we wish her well. I'm glad to know she's going to be okay. And again, she's an elder millennial, and it's tough because it seems like, you know, Kate Middleton, the royal family, you know, they've got the best of the best coming through their doors in terms of everything life has to offer, including groceries. And she's getting cancer? You know, then it's like, okay, then what about the rest of us? And I told you in another podcast episode, like a couple of weeks ago, that a rising cause of death amongst millennials is colon cancer. And that's probably because we were eating Gushers when we were 12 years old and God knows what else. And like chamoy pickle kits, like who knows what that is at this point? Like we're just eating all this nonsense, which is why I'm trying my best to like buy imported goods. You could see all of that on TikTok. I've been talking about it on my TikTok. And speaking of the royal family, I also just completed listening to the audiobook, which I bought as soon as it came out. So it's been a while, like over a year. Harry's book, The Spare, Prince Harry's book. I bought the audiobook, and that's when I realized, that was like a pivotal moment for me where I realized, you know what, like this isn't working. I need to read, like old school. Like I want to buy books and read. And that's when I took it upon myself to start reading again. And, you know, I try to read every night before bed, switch off the phone, do that whole thing. But I finally finished his audiobook and I loved it, loved the book. And you can see, like, it's very similar, oddly enough, to, you know, these patriarchal cultures, including my own Indian culture. It's like that strict, austere upbringing. And because a lot of his life was kind of controlled and he was just literally born so that if anything happened to William, he was there, whether William needs a kidney or anything, you know, the guy's there. That's literally why he was born, which is wild to know that you were put on this earth to make sure the king, the future king of England, has a backup. Just crazy. But he had this austere upbringing, and maybe, you know, all of this is a sense of rebellion, you know, just leaving the royal family. You know, it's not for everyone, but I said it before when we talked about the royal family, and I'll say it again. Being born into the royal family, in my opinion, is a God-given right. Like, you were born into that. You have a duty to fulfill. Do I think he should have, like, fled the country and, you know, escape? No. And it's weird because you read the book If you read the book, you see he loves England and the UK and being Prince Harry and everything about being royal and the history. And so you wonder, like, did you really leave on your own, or did you just want to make Meghan Markle happy, you know, and now you're out in California doing God knows what? Highly recommend that book. Again, not sponsored. Loved that book. And then we move on to Quiet on Set, which was the shocking, horrifying documentary on HBO about the Nickelodeon kids and how they were all basically raped and molested, and they were surrounded by pedophiles. And I'm not surprised. And I didn't watch it because I cannot watch those things. I can't stomach those things. They really affect me. Like I've told you before, I have a third eye. I just do not need more of that in my life because, you know, it just affects me too greatly, and I will lose sleep over things like that. And, you know, are we shocked? We've heard it all before, right? Like Amanda Bynes, Britney Spears. These people have been screaming, shouting from the rooftops. Everyone's called them fucking crazy. But we've known that Hollywood is disgusting. It's a disgusting industry. And it's a shame that if you were a child star, then you were probably taken advantage of, and in a horrible way. You're probably sexually abused. Let's just call it what it is. And what's more disturbing is the parents knew. The parents knew, but they needed money. So the child kind of becomes a workhorse. And then the child is quiet and the abuse continues because the child feels like they have to take care of their family. And there's just so much pressure on these kids, these child stars. I'm at a point, you know, and especially with all the disgusting parents on TikTok who violate and abuse their children who do not have a voice. I'm talking toddlers and stuff. Like the people who are liking these TikToks and these shows are clearly men. And it's disturbing. And the same thing was happening with Nickelodeon. I'm learning that the Nickelodeon, like, splatter slime symbol is the same shape as Epstein Island. And the Nickelodeon foot logo is, like, just for, like, foot fetish people. Like, all of this is disgusting. And the whole slime thing, like, throwing slime on people is, like, a fetish, like it's kind of like ejaculation on someone. It's all disgusting. And you watch these clips, you know, because I didn't watch the documentary. I refuse. It's too much for me. But I did watch clips on TikTok. And there's like videos of Ariana Grande, like squeezing on a potato. And then in the video, she's like asking the potato, like, why won't water come out of a potato? And it's like all this sexual innuendo. And you just realize our entire childhood was a lie, and all our favorite child stars were going through it. I mean, just being battered and abused and raped. It's disgusting. And I think what's the worst part of it all, the worst, is that their parents allowed it to happen and the industry knew, and every adult in the lives of these children failed them. And just like our Nickelodeon dreams were shattered, I can't even imagine what happened to the Disney kids. I mean, let's keep it real. These kids, all of them, God knows what they've seen or experienced. But speaking of childhood dreams shattered, I mean, millennials, we've gone through it this week. I mean, then you have the Diddy raid. Like, are you fucking kidding me? And we've known now for a while that he's the supervillain that we never knew he was. Like, Diddy is just atrocious. But it's so depressing, you know, because as kids, as middle schoolers, high schoolers, like we loved Diddy. We loved Bad Boy. We loved all that stuff. And now, since the Cassie lawsuit, it seems like things are just unraveling to the point where the feds raided his home. All three homes, by the way, Miami, New York, Los Angeles. And you're like, whoa, the eclipse, hon. And what's shocking is the day of the raid was the day of the eclipse, was the same day that they released the Life After Death album in 1997, I believe, which was to commemorate Biggie Smalls' death, which is insane. So this whole saga starts with the Cassie lawsuit, and she came out with a lot of money from that. And I think where I'm confused and torn, not that it makes any of it okay, is that I think now from the new lawsuits that he has, we're learning that he hires sex workers. So was Cassie hired as a sex worker? Did she have like monthly income to perform whatever he wanted her to perform? But that kind of opened the floodgates for everything that's to come. And what's terrifying is I think we've barely scratched the surface. Like, this goes deep and it goes way high up. There's a hierarchy here. There's a sex trafficking ring, and a lot of names are going to be revealed. And so Sean Combs starts his career in 1990 as an intern at Uptown Records, where he was working under an executive named Andre Harrell. And now in 1991, Sean Combs and another R&B singer named Aaron Hall allegedly sexually assault an unnamed victim and a friend at a music industry event, and then they beat the shit out of her a couple of days later when they confronted her. And according to this lawsuit from 1991, he allegedly, this is now Sean Combs, allegedly drugs and sexually assaults this 19-year-old girl named Joy Dickerson after going on a date with her. But somehow nothing happens to him. And in 1993, he's fired from Uptown Records and he starts his own label, Bad Boy. And this is kind of where he begins to blow up, because he's got B.I.G., Faith Evans, Mace, all the names that we are familiar with as elder millennials. And then in 1996, Sean Combs is found guilty of criminal mischief for threatening a photographer from the New York Post with a gun. Guys, these people are running around with guns. And then in 1997, Biggie Smalls is murdered. And they're now saying Sean Combs, Diddy, might have had something to do with it, allegedly. And it's, I mean, you'd hope not, because the guy has basically like lived off, you know, Biggie Smalls' name for so many years now. And so Biggie Smalls dies on March 9th. And on March 25th, they release the Life After Death album. And the whole album skyrockets in the charts. And that's when Diddy starts his whole persona where we know him as like Puffy, Puff Daddy, where he throws these lavish parties, the famous Hamptons White Party, all the big A-list stars, real estate moguls, you know, athletes, executives from the industry, everyone's showing up to these parties. And I don't know if you remember, like, I remember these parties. I remember thinking like, wow, that's so cool. Like, I want to be there when I was, you know, 14 with like coconut oil braided into my hair because we were like brown and my mom would put oil in our hair once a week. And then you would think, okay, like you're doing well, but you still want to, you know, carry guns and stuff because, you know, I don't know why, but in 1999, he's arrested and charged with two felonies for beating a record executive named Steve Stout. And apparently he says he beat him up with a champagne bottle and a chair and a telephone. This is violence. But then something happens. We don't know what. And the executive asks for the charges to be dismissed. The charges are dropped and I think he's sentenced to anger management. And then later that same year, 1999, he's now with J-Lo and the club shooting happens and he's charged for weapons violations, but is ultimately acquitted. And that's kind of what ended his relationship with J-Lo. But we don't know what really went on, quite frankly. But I almost feel like J-Lo just dated people. This is my opinion. J-Lo just dated people to get to wherever she needed to be, like her next, you know, step in life. Like, she needed to climb up. She's on the come up. So she dated Diddy because he was in music. And then guess what? That's what launched her music career. In 2000, he starts the whole Making the Band show. And, you know, he signed all those people to be in bands. And now we know that they were all abused and they were threatened. that if they wanted to make it in life, they had to, like, allegedly perform sexual acts for him. And there's so many other horrifying stories that are coming up now that me and you probably never heard of because we were busy listening to, like, Mo Money, Mo Problems. And in 2005, he meets Cassie. And, you know, she's 19 and he's 37. And he basically promises her this life of, you know, becoming a star, and he's going to promote her career. And instead, it just turns into, like, jail. Like, this girl, he keeps promising her a record deal. Nothing really happens. And then they start dating. And you wonder now, was it dating or was she a sex worker? Just like all the women now in the new lawsuit, which we'll get to.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, was she paid monthly? He forces her to take drugs. He forces her to participate with male sex workers. And he calls them freak-offs. And he also beat her on many occasions. And this is all stuff that we're only learning now, like in the past year, you know. Up until all of this, you know, we were all like, yeah, Diddy, he's cool. So he's with Cassie and allegedly beating her this entire time and making her do horrifying things. And in 2007, he starts his brand ambassador work with Ciroc Vodka. And now I remember this because one of my best friends, Diana, she was working at Diageo, which is the company that owns Ciroc and a lot of other, you know, beverage brands like Casamigos. They're huge. I think they're the largest liquor company in the world, spirits company in the world. And I specifically remember it was like yesterday in my mind, clear as day. And we all went to her house and she had all the new flavors of Ciroc and we were trying them and it was just so cool. And we thought Diddy was cool and it was actually delicious. I don't know if any of you listening ever drank Ciroc. I had a lot of free bottles because my friend worked at Diageo. Just peach Ciroc with some iced tea, hun. Those were the good old days. I was 23, a little babe in the manger. In 2013, he starts Revolt TV, which, by the way, he just sold all his shares of Revolt TV this week to an anonymous buyer. And by now, we're like in 2018, and Cassie has tried to leave Diddy a numerous amount of times, but his people keep finding him. It's kind of like the mob. He's like running the mob. It's crazy. And his handlers and his team, like everyone's complicit in this, hun. They're all involved. And again, just like the Nickelodeon kids, apparently and allegedly, everyone knows. Everyone knows this guy's a monster, but no one's saying anything. No one's helping the victims. They're all terrified. They're all scared. In 2022, he announces that he's officially a billionaire, thanks to his deals with Diageo. In 2023, he receives the key to the city from Mayor Eric Adams in New York. I mean, this is wild that this man was doing all these awful things, a supervillain, and yet he's getting the keys to New York City. It's wild. And then finally, in November is when we hear of Cassie's lawsuit, and she had to resort to filing a lawsuit because he refused to pay her and she wanted to do this privately, but he was basically like, fuck off. And so Cassie files the civil suit in New York, because in New York, there's the State Adult Survivors Act. It's a New York law permitting victims of sexual abuse a one-year window to file civil action regardless of the statute of limitations of the crimes themselves. And, you know, Sean Combs, Puffy, Diddy, whatever, he's like, no, she's just wanting money. This is blackmail. Except guess what? He settles. He settles privately for an undisclosed amount. We know Cassie wanted $30 million. I'm assuming she got triple that amount. And he releases a statement saying, I wish Cassie and her family all the best. We've decided to resolve this matter amicably on terms where I have some level of control. Okay. I don't know what that means. But then just when you think, okay, that's done and over with and he's awful and disgusting. Nope. One day before the window for filing suits under the Adult Survivors Act is set to close, two separate lawsuits alleging misconduct in the early 90s are filed against Diddy. And then a fourth person comes forward accusing him of gang rape. Over 18 brands sever ties with him. They are thinking of rescinding his Grammys. He steps down from Revolt. And then February 2024, a fifth assault lawsuit is filed against Combs by Rodney Little Rod Jones. Now, this is the most damning lawsuit. This is the one that, you know, is accusing him of sex trafficking. I mean, Cassie's did too, but this one is taking it to a whole nother level where now on Monday, again, creepy, the day of the eclipse, the federal agents raided all three of his homes. And when federal agents raid your homes, you did something. He claims he's innocent. I have not read those court documents. I don't like reading these documents, so I don't have any gory details for you because it's just not something I want in my mind. But the court documents are available, and a lot of TikTokers have done the deep dive if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty of it all. I personally do not, but names like Jay-Z, Lucian Grange, who is the CEO of Universal Music Group, UMG, who is also the father-in-law of Sophia Richie, he's in it. There's some heavy hitter names in this. Usher, Justin Timberlake, their names are in this, and we don't know in what capacity. I don't want to know, but it's not looking good. And I know everyone thinks Candace Owen is crazy, and believe me, I was one of those people, except she's starting to make sense now. Okay. And she's done a whole deep dive on this if you want to look that up. And she talks about how this raid is actually not really a raid to like find things on Diddy. It's to hide things so that the people up top, like the Clive Davis, the Lucian Grange, all these executives who allegedly attended all these parties and knew there were underage girls there and had an idea, an inkling of what was happening, it's to save their asses. It's a hide shit. And, you know, you never know. You never know these days what's the truth. And you gotta wonder, you know, is this every single person in Hollywood? Did they have to do something atrocious? Or did they have to get raped? Did they have to take it up the ass to be in Hollywood? Like, is that how this works? Are all these people just being prostituted? I mean, I learned what yachting was on TikTok. Yachting, like, it's not like going on a yacht. It's girls, supermodels, people me and you know, people, women that we look up to. They fly to Dubai, they sleep with these billionaires or princes for a sum, and then they come back. And it sounds horrifying, but this is, you know, allegedly what's happening in Hollywood. And the music industry, and the modeling industry, all of it, it's all intertwined. And are people just getting trafficked? Like, is it just one big human trafficking ring? It's makes you wonder, makes you grateful to be at home, to be a normal person. I think this is just the beginning. Like I said earlier, we have just scratched the surface. There's more to come, and we're going to be shocked and shook. I mean, let me tell you, there's some deep dives on TikTok where they're talking about a place called Bohemian Grove. I'm like even scared to talk about this stuff, where rituals happen and they sacrifice babies and who knows. It's all sounding like it could be true, quite frankly. And you should look it all up on your own time, because it just scares me too much. And it's just been such a heavy week, you know, like you start the week with the Diddy raid, and then the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore collapses because a container ship crashes into it. So the MV Dolly, a Panamanian flagged container ship, is approaching the port of Baltimore on the Patapsco River. The weather's reported to be clear, calm winds, good visibility, and there's a crew of 12, all presumed to be following standard procedures for navigating this port. Like, this happens every day. Now, after midnight on March 26th at 12:28 a.m., the Dolly experiences a sudden loss of power. And you see this. If you've seen the video, you see the lights flicker. They turn on and off. And the ship goes black for a few seconds. And the cause is still under investigation. They don't know how that happened. And without power, obviously the ship loses steering and propulsion, becoming a large adrift vessel in the shipping channel. And propulsion is, you know, the use of a propeller. The propeller pushing the ship forward. Now, you'd think, okay, so why did it keep moving? Well, this thing's 984 feet long, okay? 95,000 tons empty. And it's got these containers on it. So they were too close already to the bridge, where the propeller's still going. The ship's still moving now. So now it's 12:35 a.m. and it's just drifting towards the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And at this point, the crew's trying to regain control. They've called the Department of Transportation. They're like, hey, like, tell people to get off this bridge. But they can't regain control. And they're trying to work the generator now. Except when the ship turns back on for a few seconds, it's set to turn right. That's what they're saying, that there was a command already in place. So it's like, let's say you turn on your car and the steering wheel just moves to the right, because that's what you set the command to. They're still investigating that, because it suddenly veers to the right and collides with a central support pillar of the bridge. And then the bridge just collapses. And for some reason, they did tell people not to go on the bridge. That's what they're saying. But there are vehicles on the bridge. They plunge into the river. And then there's also bridge maintenance workers. So I don't know why none of these people were informed. And now they fell into the river, you know, and they were performing overnight repairs. 6 workers from the bridge are missing. They're assumed dead. And what people aren't thinking about is how frigid that water is. Because I watched another video on TikTok where they were like, oh, when you go on a bridge, like, make sure you roll down your windows. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it's a thing. When you drive over a bridge, roll down your windows in case something happens, you can escape. In this case, what are you going to do? The water is ice cold. You'd probably die of hypothermia. And so they can't even find the missing people, because the water is that cold. The Coast Guard can't even go into the water. It's that cold. Rescuers were able to find 2 survivors who are hospitalized. There's no evidence of foul play. But, you know, you've got questions. We've got questions like, what caused the power failure of the MV Dolly? Was it a mechanical issue, human error, or something else? You know, and what pains my heart is the crew was Indian, and that's not the part that pains my heart. But, you know, these people are paid nothing. They said typically these workers are from third world countries like India, the Philippines. They're paid minimum wage. And these ships are not in the best conditions, you know, they're not really taken care of because they're container ships. And Maersk is a huge shipping company. I mean, they are probably the largest shipping company. They're the second largest, actually. The first is MSC, Mediterranean Shipping Company. And I know all about this world because while I was in college, I worked at a freight forwarder. And a freight forwarder is just a company that's like the middleman to get you your containers on a ship. So if you're a business and you're importing and exporting goods, you usually put your goods on a container. And there's 20-foot containers, 40-foot containers, and 45-foot containers. And then there's even reefer containers, which are containers that are, you know, housing frozen things, like things that are frozen, that are perishable, probably. And it's just wild because you know how big these companies are. I mean, they're importing, exporting all over the world. This ship that crashed into the bridge was supposed to go to Sri Lanka. And also the people that have goods on this ship, they're probably going to lose all their money. They're probably not going to get that stuff, that merchandise. And that's probably the least of everyone's problems. Hopefully they're insured. But you got to wonder, like, how is this going to pan out? Who are they going to blame? Because now the blame game begins. And I'm hoping, you know, it's not those poor workers. It's not the crew, because you and I both know they probably did whatever they could. They probably followed protocol. And what do you do? What do you do if you're manning a poorly maintained container ship and the power goes out right before you're approaching a bridge? Like, that's some eclipse shit right there. You know what else is some eclipse shit? If you haven't had enough already, the girls getting punched in New York City. I mean, that started this week. There have been recent reports of women being punched by strangers in New York City. Some speculate it's a resurgence of the knockout game, where attackers try to knock someone unconscious. Excuse me? There's a game where people want to knock people out. And I did not know about this until I researched further into this. And this is actually a thing that happened in big cities. Like, people played a game, like, let's see who could knock someone out. It began this week. Multiple women have come forward. Young women, by the way, a lot of influencers that I'm seeing on TikTok have come forward on social media about being punched. And you see these like wounds. They've got like these horns, which are swelling on their heads from being either elbowed or punched, black eyes. The police have not arrested anyone because they don't know who this is. And that's what blows my mind. In a city like New York, where there's people everywhere, no one's helping these women, and no one's stopping this from happening, and no one knows who's doing it. Men punching women. Haven't we had enough as women? Don't we deal with enough? Now women have to deal with getting punched. And women have said, some of these girls that are getting punched, they're saying, like, no one helped them. No one is coming to their rescue. They're just watching, or like, they keep walking. And I told you guys in an earlier podcast, I do believe I lived in New York in the glory days, 2011 to 2017. And of course, I spent a lot of my childhood and adolescence going there because my dad is a textile distributor. So we go to New York all the time because it's the garment fashion capital. And, you know, it's just not what it was. You know, I go there now and I want to get the hell out. The past two times I went there, I've been for 24 hours. And now I don't even want to go. And now is kind of when I start going there, you know, in the summer. I have no desire to go. I'm hoping I don't have anything work-related that requires me to go to New York. It's terrifying. And I hope they get to the bottom of it, or they create some sort of consequence or law that can just protect these women. And it's just rough out there, guys. Just be safe. And that's all I can kind of say. I mean, there's only so much you can control if some random stranger is just going to come up to you and deck you in the face. Imagine. And since it's been such a heavy episode, and we didn't even get to the nitty-gritty because it's not something I want to talk about, like pedophilia, rape, sexual abuse. It's just dark. And I'm happy that things are coming to light. We can see the truth, but it's scary. And I'll just end with one more sad thing that I found out. Apparently, the pasta queen, I don't know if you all follow the pasta queen. I love the pasta queen. I just found out she's a Scientologist. And that's what we're going to end with. Hope you guys have an amazing weekend. And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, if you liked the podcast, please write a review and subscribe. Bye, guys.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you so much for sipping the chai with me this week. If you like the show, remember to rate, review, and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram at Anish Ramakrishna. I would love to hear from you. Join me next week for more chai.